own money, I joked. The Dalai Lama chuckled politely at my meager sense of humor, then continued.
In fact, in the context of the workplace, which is what we are talking about here, in order to get along better with others, I think the most important thing is to recognize our interconnection, our interdependence. That's the key factor. Have a clear understanding of that reality. At least on that basis, one would be more willing to work cooperatively with others, whether or not one has any special feeling of affection or compassion toward them. On that level, on the level of building teamwork, compassion or empathy is not even required. However, if you want to enhance and strengthen the relationship, move it to a deeper and much more satisfying level, then empathy and compassion would be required. You understand?
Yes, I nodded.
So, in thinking of other things that can help one deal with difficult people at work, I think that if one is in a situation where there may be hostile co-workers or demanding supervisors at work, a wider perspective can sometimes help. Realizing that this person's behavior may have nothing to do with me, there are maybe other causes for their behavior, and not taking it too personally. Their hostile outbursts may actually have more to do with unrelated issues, maybe even problems at home. We sometimes tend to forget these simple truths. And also, I should mention that if we are talking about trying to cultivate a deeper compassion for others, that compassion should be unbiased. Ideally, it should be directed toward everyone equally. That's genuine compassion, universal compassion. For example, often we think of compassion as something that is directed toward those who are worse off than you, less fortunate people who are poor or in some difficult circumstances. There, of course, compassion is a completely appropriate response. But often, if someone is more wealthy than you are, or famous, or enjoying some fortunate circumstances, we feel that they are not appropriate objects for our compassion. Our compassion dries up, and we may feel jealousy instead. But if you look deeper, no matter how rich or famous someone is, they are still a human being just like you, subject to the changes of life, of old age, illness, loss, and so on. Even if it is not apparent on the surface, sooner or later, they are subject to suffering. They are worthy of compassion on that basis, on the basis of being a fellow human being. So this relates specifically to the workplace, where people are often in conflict with their supervisors, bosses. But one is more likely to feel envy, fear, or hostility rather than to think of them merely as another human being, as worthy of your compassion as anyone else. So this brings me to the final approach to dealing with difficult people at work, these trying situations. And this depends entirely on the basic outlook, orientation, and personal interest of the individual. But in this regard, there are some people who have an interest in spirituality. Those people who are trying to train their minds to cultivate spiritual values like compassion, patience, tolerance, and forgiveness. Now, for those people, they may use these challenging situations as part of their spiritual practice and view situations where there are conflicts with difficult co-workers as opportunities to practice these wonderful human qualities, to strengthen these spiritual values. I think it is a wonderful thing if one can use one's place of work as a place of spiritual practice as well. As I usually mention, however, practicing patience and tolerance does not mean that one should passively allow oneself or others to be harmed in any way. In those cases, one needs to take appropriate countermeasures. But this has to do with one's internal response and reaction to conflicts at work or to situations that may cause emotions like anger, hatred, or jealousy to arise. And this approach is definitely possible. In my experience, for instance, I have met many Tibetans who have been imprisoned, political prisoners by the Chinese for many years, being beaten, starved, tortured. And yet, they were able to use their spiritual practices even in these extreme conditions, and in some cases, even strengthen their spiritual practice while maintaining